It's really easy not to like the Pharisee. He's a jerk. Excuse me, he's an ass. He stands there in church, so happy with himself, so glad to be better than other people, so aware of how far he has come and what he has left behind. Yes, clearly, when we read this text, we are not to like the tax collector, not to want to be like him, not to see what a good man he is. And so we hear it read, and I know it is true. It's true for you. It's true for me. We hear it read, and we think immediately, thank God, I am not like that Pharisee. And now we're caught. What do we do? There seems to be no way out that I can find in the text itself. I can't want to be like him. I can't pray that I would be like him. So I end up praying, thank God, I don't think legalistically. Thank God, I trust in grace alone. Not like that damned Pharisee. This is where it is helpful to remember that perhaps the fathers, as right as they often were about many things, were wrong about all the parables being allegories. All of them having a one-to-one relationship. This is this, this is that. We line it up, we have a nice little bow on top. Maybe sometimes the parables are indeed puzzles meant to trap you, labyrinths meant to not let you out again, to take your mind and cajole you into losing against them, so that the only way out again is the only way out of anything, which is for Jesus to reach in and pull you out. The truth of the matter is that you are a Pharisee sitting here this morning, the chosen few. How many aren't here this morning? Off doing many important things, but not this one. Here you are, a good Lutheran, a member in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. You know justification by grace through faith. You know that Jesus is the only way. You go to church every Sunday. You trust in the Lord. You care for your people. That's the Pharisee. And it will arise in you, the old man, this one man who goes to church with you every time you come, trusting in himself. The good news is that you are not only one man any longer. Because of who Jesus is and what he has done, you are two men. The old Adam, still wrapped tightly around your neck, unable to even love the grace of the story without being a jerk about it. And you are also that poor, miserable sinner sitting at the back here, ultimately because you know you have nowhere else to go. You are, if I might coin the phrase, simul Pharisaios et tax collector. Yes? Saint and sinner, justified and wretched, ungodly and holy, all in one. And you do go home, justified. But catch this and don't miss how wonderful it is. The other man does not. There is a part of you, a you, who comes every time to the word and sacraments of Jesus, who goes home not saved, but condemned to die. This is the beauty of holy baptism, that you don't die with yourself in your death, but dead already in this death of Christ, you live with his life as well. And wait for that moment when you will get to enter into a holy temple, a sanctuary far beyond any we could build with hands here. And that old man won't come with you anymore. And either then will you sit at the back and beat your breast and say, be merciful to me, a sinner. You will say, praise be to God, alleluia, let the mercy reign forever. Amen. That is the joy of justification and the mystery of sanctification. That is the hope you have in Jesus. In his name, amen.